Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
All right, let's get in the Word. If you got a Bible, you can turn to John 15. But right now, we're finishing up today our Holy Spirit message series. We've been going through, talking about the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We've been talking about what we can expect from Holy Spirit and how He works in our lives. Been kind of going through the Word to talk about the gifts of Holy Spirit and how we can hear Him and how He is the mind of Christ and how it's important that we know what He's speaking to us today. Amen? Amen? Amen. We want to know what Holy Spirit is speaking. You know, here's the challenge that I have found in following God. You know, when you get saved and you get right with God and you get this passion and the light of heaven comes into your heart and all of a sudden your spirit man is illuminated, you're converted to Christ, all of a sudden you recognize the Word becomes fresh, you recognize that God is speaking, you recognize that you've been building your life based on your own thoughts and ideas, you just kind of come up with anything and just try to survive life, and once you meet God, you recognize that you have this holy counselor who wants to be involved in every part of your life, and you get very excited about that because there's areas of your life that you had no victory over that He sovereignly comes in and helps you with, and you're very excited to let Him in everywhere. And then, after a while, I have found that we feel like life is going good enough. Sure, there's areas that aren't perfect. Sure, we could be doing more for the Lord. But by and large, we have most of the major issues worked out. Without even realizing it, we stop looking for God's best in our life. We start coasting on what was best yesterday. We get to the thought that, you know, we're doing pretty good, and before we even recognize it, we just start living life without His day-to-day input. We're not as hungry for His Word. We're not as thirsty for the things of the Spirit. We're not as desperate for His wisdom and His counsel. And because of that, we kind of live off what we had instead of fresh revelation every day. And we just live through life. And we don't even see it. And then we meet somebody who's on fire for God. And we could be tricked into thinking that, oh, I remember I was that way when I was less mature. Or I remember when all this was new to me, I was like that. As if we've somehow seen it all, and we've attained it all, and we've come into the full knowledge of the glory of God, and there's no more to discover. No, what happened was somehow we settled. Somehow we came into a land that we thought was good enough, or the battle was too hard, or maybe God was asking a little more than we were willing to pay, and we've settled in a land that we were never supposed to settle in, and we never conquer lands that God has already promised us. I don't know about you, but as we've decided and we've covenanted in our heart to pray in the Holy Spirit 30 minutes a day, and maybe you weren't able to do it every day, maybe you weren't able to do it 30 minutes every day, maybe you just increased your prayer time, but as we're in this time of welcoming more of God into our lives, you may have discovered there's a little bit more that you've been missing. Often we'll see a little conflict where we didn't see conflict, or we'll see problems that we didn't see problems, and we'll start blaming, oh, the devil's attacking me because I'm following God, or we'll just say, man, you know, the enemy's trying to keep me from praying. Or really what happens is, like we talked about, when we start following God, the barricades to our obedience start becoming more visible. The barricades have been there all along. We just started seeing them when we started focusing on God's best. And all of a sudden, we didn't see God's best most clearly. We saw shadows on it. And the shadows, the silhouettes, were the blockades that were keeping us from God's best in our life. And you say, why doesn't God just eliminate those things so I can just be in His best? Why? Because He was looking for a partner on the earth. He's looking for someone to co-labor. He's looking for a people who will obey. And so here we are at the end of our series here, looking for God's best in our lives, saying, how do we get all of God in us? And how do we introduce Him to the world? And I believe that is God's desire for all our lives. It's really His desire that we would hear Him, that we would know Him, that we would walk with Him, and that we live in His blessings and His perfect will. Amen? Let's look at John 15, 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides or lives in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now you say, though, you're not walking with God right now. And you say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? My life is pretty good. You are weak ones. You need God. I don't need God. And we hear this in the world, right? Oh, he's like, here's your crutch. I don't need a crutch. I'm able to do this on my own. But the Bible teaches us very clearly that at the end of the age, everything will be tested with fire. And everything that is not built on the rock, Jesus Christ, will be consumed. There's nothing eternal that we can build. When we all die, and we all will die, we are all in a state of dying. We are all on this earth temporarily, and at the end of it, we will be put in a box, and all of our stuff will be given to somebody else. And the only things we can take to heaven with us are the people that we have touched with eternity. That's all you can take with you to heaven. And your legacy beyond the next generation or two generations will all be based on what you did for Christ. There was the richest person in Boca 150 years ago, and nobody knows who they are. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Everybody in here had the most popular person in high school, right? You know, you're in high school, there was a popular crowd, there was the in crowd, there was the cool crowd. And a couple years later, you didn't care about them anymore. This kingdom that they were building was very temporary. Amen? In high school, it seemed very important. It seemed very significant, the influence that they had. And a couple years later, their kingdom was worth nothing. And then maybe you went to college or you got your first job and maybe you had a boss at your first job who was power hungry, or you went to college and there were some professors who acted like they were everything. And all of a sudden you found out there was new kingdoms to try to conquer, and you did that and you moved on in life, and all of a sudden those kingdoms meant nothing. So are the kingdoms we build on this earth. They're no more temporary than the fort that your children build in their bedroom. That they feel like they've built a new kingdom, but really they've built a little fort inside of your house. And everything we build on this earth are little forts that we're building in God's kingdom. Some of them will remain, most of them will not, because they're not built on the Word of God. They're not built on anything eternal. They're built on temporary needs and temporary satisfaction. No, we want to be people of eternal significance. In light of eternity, the little cares of the world are really not important. I want to build something that is eternal. Amen? Amen? I want to affect things for eternity. And Jesus said, you can build whatever you want, but if it's not built through me, you have built nothing. He says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you live in me, I will live in you, and then you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen to this. Jesus sent Holy Spirit to be with us. Hear me. Put this up. Jesus sent Holy Spirit to be with us. We should probably welcome him into the conversations of our lives. Jesus sent God to be with us by his Holy Spirit. We should probably welcome into our conversations of our lives. Listen. I want to bear much fruit. How about you? I want to bear much fruit. How about you? I want to build things in this world. Amen? Listen, I'm here today. God has given me a word for some people who want their lives to mean something. If you come to church for your spiritual checkup, you come to church so you can check a box out of obligation with God, you're going to be severely disappointed today. I have a word for people who want to accomplish something with their life, who aren't satisfied with what they've accomplished thus far. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And if you're going to build anything that will amount to eternity, you better get the eternal one in the midst of the planning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't have the eternal one in the midst of the planning, you will not build anything that will last for eternity. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Are you with me right now? Listen, we have to invite him into the conversations of our lives. We have to bring him in to the planning. We got to get him at the foundation. You can't build a house and then ask the architect what it should look like. You can't build a house in any. I know I got some construction workers here, some builders in our church who have to deal with the city and planning and zoning and inspections. And you can't build something and then ask the inspector to come and make the plans match the zoning code. You can't say, hey, I built this bathroom and I put in the plumbing and I put in the wiring. Can you go ahead and change the code to match what I built? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Listen to me. You cannot ask them to change the code to match what you already built. You know what they're going to say? Tear it all down. Start again. But that's what we do with Jesus with our lives. Look what I've built, God. This is what I really want. My insecurities forced me to do this with my life. Now I'd like you to come and say, this is your plan. Wow. And he's like, yeah, no. 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 I mean, we're in middle school and we write a paper, a little paper, and we hand it in. And we're in history class and we write something on music. And they're like, this isn't a history paper. We're like, yeah, I know, but this is what I wrote. Can you bless it? We would never do that. But we give our middle school teachers more honor than we do God with our lives. We just build whatever we want. Say, hey, God, why don't you come bless this thing for me? And he's like, yeah, I'd like to, but that's a mess. Just like we have building codes. They say, yeah, no, that's neat wiring you did, but you're going to burn the house down. I know more about this than you do. That's why we pass laws. We don't want you to burn the house down. Because hear me, when you burn your house down, it affects the neighbors. It affects your children. It affects property values. Now we got firefighters going to be in danger. And we build our lives based on whatever we want. We don't listen to God. We live selfish. And we don't live according to his plans. And all of a sudden, the house starts burning down. And what happens? Kids get affected by divorce. Families don't believe in marriage. People who were counting on you, God's plan for your family, now it doesn't come to pass. Because we built it on selfish desires instead of God's plan. And here is the funny part. Here's the funny part. His plans are better. Amen. He has free plans. He has free plans. They're free. We don't have to hire an architect. We don't have to buy plans. He has amazing plans already drawn up. And he's like, hey, just go buy these. And it's going to be even better than what you could have built on your own. Trust me, it's going to be better. You're like, but I'm scared, God. He's like, I know, but I'm God. I got this figured out. In every area of your life, he has it figured out. Are you hearing me? He has it figured out. He's got better plans for every part of your life. We should include him in the planning process. Are you with me? So, God has amazing plans, and we should invite him into the planning of our life so he can produce the fruit he wants us to produce, right? And so we talked at length about spiritual gifts, right? Here's what I want you to know about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not rewards. If you're taking notes, write it down. Spiritual gifts are not rewards. They're not spiritual rewards. They're gifts. They're gifts. Let's take, for example, my stunning good looks, right? God did not give them to me just because he likes me better than other people. It's just a gift. I didn't earn these good looks. I didn't earn these good looks. They're just given to me. It's just I didn't do anything to deserve it. How about your good looks? Did you do anything to deserve them? No. No. You feel me, Duke. We're right here. It's a burden that we're called to bear. Right? You get me, Sarah, right? It's just one of those burdens. But in our society, if you have more gifts, you're better. So we look at celebrities who look better. Somehow we elevate them with a maturity that they are better when many aren't that deep and really have no reason to be in the public eye. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They just happen to be born with some gifts that other people weren't. But they're not rewards, right? God is a good God. Say that with me. God is a good God. And good fathers give their kids good gifts. Let me tell you the best gifts God gives. He gives you his presence. That's the best gift. You ask any child without parents, my wife is doing for the four kids, foster care offering. And, you know, what they do is these kids are in foster care and so they don't have their parents with them. And so they get specific gifts that the kid wants. They put on a little Christmas ornament. They put it out there. You take the ornament, you buy the gift, you bring it back. This kid actually gets what he wants. Well, why do we have to do that? They don't have any parents to do that. Your presence, listen, no one can replace your presence in your child's life. And you can never make up for time lost. If your kids are babies, you're never having another babyhood with your child. You're not having new adolescence. You're not having new toddler. You're not getting new teen years. You don't get it back. And if you've elevated something to be more important than your children, I'm here to let you know, repent. Repent. This is not God. Now, I know we all have different priorities in life. I get that. But if you got something more important than your children, you have not invited God into the conversation. I am astounded how many men, and I'm going to talk to the men for a minute because I'm a man, I can call you out. I'm astounded how many men put their hobbies over their kids. It is baffling. It is baffling to me. And I'm not talking like we don't have food, so I have to work two jobs and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm talking about I like to go, I don't know, I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but I like to play baseball or I like to fish or I like to do whatever. And my kid can't do it or he gets in the way. So I spend all day Saturday with them instead of my family. I'm like, how does that not bother you? Forgive me. This is me talking. This isn't the Lord. This is me talking. I don't understand. I remember when I first got trained for ministry, they said I had to pick up golf. And I'm like, what? And they're like, no, this is where ministry happened, on the golf course. I'm like, then who's taking care of my kids? Who's raising my kids for 6 hours on a Saturday? I'm like, wait a minute. You've built your lives based on this lie that the women take care of the kids and I abandon them, and that produces good fruit, something that I don't see in the Father in his relationship with the Son? I don't what is wrong? Could you imagine Jesus Christ goes to the mountaintop? I want you to see my Father, but he's fishing. Sorry, guys, we're on our own. They're coming to kill us. What do you do? I don't know. Dad was busy. I just want you to know you cannot count on him. All right? He may or may not be there when you need him. Important things will happen in your life. Maybe he'll show up if he's not busy. Could you imagine if that was the God we represent? Could you imagine? Then all you have is works. Right? Then you come up with crazy theologies like, he'll be happy if I blow myself up. What? Why would you think that? Because God is not with you. When the Father's with you, you don't come to crazy revelation like that. You're on your own, so you make up stuff. Right? The Father, I mean, if you have a son, how's he going to learn how to be a man? How's he going to learn how to be a man? On his own? From TV? You want TV to raise your kids? You want popular music to raise your kids? I don't. Is there any, this is on, right? Like, do you get this? Like, this is a big deal to me. I don't know why. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but this is a big deal. I don't want my daughter looking at pop stars thinking that's what she can expect out of a man either. No, thank you. No, thank you. No. So my wife and I have conflict in front of our kids, unfortunately. But you know what that means? We have to have resolution in front of our kids. It's important. We don't hide it in the back room. Guess what? We were angry, and now we're repenting, and we're better. This is how we have healthy relationships. Are you with me? I don't know where that came from. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, just say, Father, I got it. Let him move on, right? Thank you, Jesus. But you're the only dad, you're the only mom your kid has. Amen. And I'm flabbergasted when people don't have kids and stay selfish. I don't get it. Just don't get it. But it is what it is. God is a good God, right? So God so loves us that he gives gifts. He gives spiritual gifts by his Spirit. Your spiritual gifts aren't for you, they're for others. Got it on the board, that's so important. God gives gifts. The gifts he gives you are for others. He gave them to you so you can give them away. Now think of this crazy paradigm that our Father is so secure, he's not threatened that you might take credit. I want you to think about that. He's not threatened by you stealing his glory. He's not threatened that you might somehow make it look like you are the one that is the amazing one with the gift. He just expects you to use the gift he gives you to give him glory by giving them to other people. So what does that mean? We're talking about specifically 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe he's giving you a gift of prophecy or a gift of healing or a gift of a word of knowledge or interpretation, wisdom, miracles, whatever. He expects that when you have this gift, the point of the gift isn't that you're amazing. The point of the gift is that God is amazing. Look at here's how he does that. He puts his amazing gift in you. And the fact that he can use you is amazing. Amen. The fact that he does anything supernatural through me blows my mind all the time. Yep. All the time. I'll have meetings and amazing things will happen. And I'll go home and say to my wife, can you believe I had a word of knowledge and it was this specific and there was somebody there that it made sense to? She's like, yes, that makes perfect sense to me. I'm like, it does not make sense to me. This is me we're talking about. I cannot believe that that happened. I prayed for that person and they were healed. She goes, of course they were healed. I'm like, I can't believe that that happened. God used me. Can you believe God would use you? He just breathed and everything came into existence. And yet he chooses to use you. Like, that's an extra step he didn't need. He didn't need that extra step. He's got like the ultimate job creation system, right? Like he's got a job plan going on here to employ you when he doesn't actually need you. How crazy is that? Why would he do that? There's got to be a reason, right? There's got to be a reason that he would do that. Watch this. The gifts aren't for you. The gifts are for other people. If you got a Bible, you're going to look at me with, I don't know. All right, here's what I basically want to tell you. Jesus said that we would know people by their fruit, not their gifts, right? People will know that we're Jesus' disciples based on the love that we have for one another, right? The fruit is the evidence of godly character in a disciple's life because they can only grow out of a life that's dead to self and that lives by the Spirit. Did you get that? He said, we'll know people by their fruit. He said that people will know we're his disciples because we love each other. He said that fruit only comes out of godly character, and godly character only comes when we die to our own self-interest. We have to be a people who aren't living for ourselves, but we're living for God primarily. But if you live for God, you're going to find out that he loves people. You can't live for God and not find out how much he loves people. You can't be mean to people and think you're following God real well. It's not possible. You can't gossip about the church and say you're a Christ follower. And I don't mean church revival life. I'm talking about the bride of Christ. That includes all the preachers that you don't agree with. It's easy to agree with me because I preach so good. It's easy to agree with Corey because he's so amazing up there. So we're not talking about us, right, Corey? But he says you got to love, you'll love people. You'll love his people specifically. You'll love his people. You got to love your siblings whether you like them or not, right? You got to love them. And if you gossip about your siblings, there's something wrong with you because you're family. He said, listen, we're supposed to love each other to a way that we're like family, and it's just weird. We're supposed to be transformed into this family. Are you hearing me? We're on the same page. Tell your neighbor it's about to get really good. Tell your neighbor. Come on, tell him. Pay attention. I think it's good already, Corey. I think it's all good stuff. I think it's good stuff. More about parenting? All right, write this down. Love is the conduit of the gifts. Love is the conduit of the gifts. Love is a conduit of the gifts. Now, I'm trying to lay out something logically here. If you think the gift is a reward, then you don't need to change. People need to change to receive you. Listen, I'm so great, God's found it in his wisdom to give the gift to me, so you need to honor me so that you can get the gift. That's when you think that you've somehow earned it. Now, when you recognize that the gift is grace, and it was only because God had a plan with it. Then you say, it's really important that God gave me this gift. I need to be a person that someone wants to receive from. And he set that up, that conduit is love. All right, here's how you summarize the fruit of the Spirit. They're summed up in love, right? It sums up the whole law and the prophets. Love is the most excellent way, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is proven true by its actions and not by feelings. It's summed up in love. Love is how this whole thing works, right? So here's how we get. We say, oh, I'm good. You know, I'm good. I'm at this place in Christ. I'm ministering gifts. I'm flowing in the Spirit. I got all this stuff going on. I'm good. Look how it's working. Oh, we've missed it. There's a more excellent way. Every Saturday night, my family has devotions. last night, we talked in our devotions. We kind of talked about, hey, 2018's coming. Let's start setting some goals for 2018. Some people put down resolutions. They don't like resolutions. I think any opportunity that is something that might spark change is good.
Yeah.
Amen. If it's a good thing that happens, hey, that's good. If it's a bad thing that happens, hey, that's good. Anything that sparks us to change, to be better people, is good. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so New Year's, lots of people create resolutions, and hey, let's use it. Let's go with it, right? But as we talked last night, we talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about getting feedback because many of us are deceived as to where we really are. We think we're better looking. I don't know if you know anybody like that, than we really are. Who would do that? We think we're more humble than we are. We think we're misunderstood when really people understand us better than we think. All right? We don't get feedback, so we don't really know who we are. We don't get it from God, and we don't get it from people. And we need it from people, honestly, more than we need it from God. Because we tend to hear God a little shifty for ourselves. Have you noticed that? He set it up that way so we would need other people. We talked about, you know, setting up systems of feedback in our lives. And we talked about setting goals. Now, I have talked about this at length, but goals have deadlines. A goal without a deadline is a dream. And so your whole life, I'm going to learn piano. But you don't know piano because you've never set a deadline. I need to have this by March. By April, I need to have $600 in my savings account. I need to have 2 months saved. Or I'm going to lose 5 pounds every month this next week. And if I have this next year, I'm going to lose 5 pounds a month this next year. And if I've not lost 20 pounds by April, I'm going radical with my diet so that I lose it by May. Like setting goals with deadlines. I've set fitness goals for my life. Many of them I've kept. I had set in my heart that I wanted to do a triathlon. And it was just in the dream phase that I was going to do a triathlon. Right? Now, I don't know if you know me, but I have no business doing triathlons, right? When you think about athletic people, you don't generally put me on the list, right? But about, I don't know, a couple years ago, I decided I didn't want to be fat anymore. I didn't like the fat, pasty look. And I just said, I'm going to lose some weight because this is within my ability to do, right? Like, I'm the only one feeding me.
That's good work.
Unless you're like this baby who was on stage, you're the only one feeding you. So you can blame all that weight on the spoon or the person holding the spoon, right? And most of America wants to blame it on the spoon so that it's not our problem. But I recognize this was my problem. And I thought it was just that I wasn't exercising enough. I found out that I was eating like someone who was as fat as I was, right? And so if I wanted to be someone smaller, I needed to eat like someone smaller. It's amazing. You can be whoever you want to be. Just eat that person. I want to be 300 pounds. Eat like a 300 pounder. All right, you're going to be 300 pounds. I want to be 140. Then eat like a 140 pound person. It's not that complicated, right? And so I decided I didn't want to be 200 too much, right? I wanted to be under that. And so I started adjusting my life. I started exercising. I started biking a lot, and I started eating a little, right? And so as I ate a little and I biked a lot, I started losing weight, and I started feeling good, and I started getting a little, so you get a little success, you get a little delusional. You start thinking you're better than you are. You know, you've done this. You know, you pray for one person that got healed. You think you're going to go clear out a hospital next week? You know, you've done these things. I've done that. And so then I began thinking, I can bike, maybe I can run. I like to swim, maybe I can swim, bike, run. Maybe I could be a triathlete, right? I started deluding myself into actually believing this at some point. And so I tried it, and I found out running is, I don't know why you run. I don't understand. It is an awful, awful, awful hobby. I don't know why you do that. And so I tried to do this about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and it didn't go well. And my wife said, why are you making yourself and us miserable? Particularly us, right? Complaining about your legs not working this way. And I was like, you're right. Bad goal. Get rid of this goal. This dream is dead. But I have this problem that I really don't like being unsuccessful. Being unsuccessful, just it wakes me up at night and says, ha, you can't do a triathlon, can you? And I'm like, who cares? Nobody does triathlons. I don't even want to do a triathlon. But really, it was still there. It was still there in the quiet times talking to me. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I don't like not being able to do things. And so I said to myself, self, we're going to shut that thing up and we're going to do a triathlon. So now it was just a dream. Are you with me here? And so I started looking where I need to set a goal. And so I'm looking for a triathlon I can do that was about 4 months, 5 months out. But there weren't any. There was only one that was about 2.5 months out. Now, a more active younger man, that wouldn't be as big a problem. But I'm neither of those. And so I'm a mid-40s guy who's only been active a little bit. And I said, well, it's now or April. And so I was like, you know, I can swim. See, the problem is I can't run. And that's a third of the race, right? And so I said, I'm doing it. So I signed up for a triathlon. I got to have a goal, right? I signed up for it. And I know to have a real goal, you need accountability, right? And so you need feedback. And so I foolishly talked Corey into doing it with me, right? Now, I want you to hear this. I had started a running plan. I figured, okay, I got about 10, 12 weeks until it. I don't run at all. And since I got to run 3 miles, that's a problem, right? I can't go from nothing to 3 miles. Listen, you 20-somethings, get active. Because in the 40s, it's hard. It's very, very hard, right? So here I am. I start running. My running plan's going good. I figure if my training goes perfectly, then I can run for about 6-7 weeks, then train for the try the last like 3-4 weeks, and then I'll be amazing. And so my running was going good, and so I invited Corey to join us because I was doing well, all right? You know, sometimes we only make our plans public if we think they're doable, right? Come watch me succeed. So I'm talking Corey into it. Corey's like, I can't do that. So I'm texting him screenshots of my workouts. I'm provoking him to jealousy, right? That's biblical. I'm provoking him to jealousy. So Corey starts working out. And now we're both working out. He's doing okay. I'm doing good. And then I get really, really sick. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm 40-something. He's 20-something. You know. Then I get really, really, really sick. And so my perfect workout plan went bad, right? But I already paid to do this thing, right? Like, oh, my God. And Corey's working out. He's like, you're still going to be able to do it, right? Now he's doing great, and I'm in bed. I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is not good, right? And so I get sick. I'm sick for like 3 weeks. I can barely walk. I'm coughing. I can't run. And so I start running more. I'm like, I get out of bed. And now I got like, you know, my perfect plan is gone. Now I got 3 weeks, and then I got to be able to run 3 miles after biking for 10 miles, after swimming for a quarter mile, right? And I want to reiterate the part that I can't run, right? So that's a problem. So I'm like grinding. I'm like grinding, Corey. I'm grinding. Corey's getting better and better. He's getting faster and faster. He's like, now he's setting like real goals and stuff. I'm like, I just want to finish. I'm having anxiety attacks at night that I'll be like in the back of the run course and like an ambulance comes and gets me. And Corey's finishing, getting a medal, and I'm like going buying a stretcher. But you know what? The goal was already set. So it was like, too bad, Carl. Too bad. Should have thought of that before you got sick. You got to get grinding. Get grinding on your goal. So I didn't have a choice. I was feeling sorry for myself, but I got to get working. I got to get working so I don't embarrass. Now it's just avoid embarrassment. That was the whole goal at this point. I want to minimize the shame, right? Lord, come with your redemptive plan. Lift the yoke of shame off of me in this event. Are you with me? Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I don't have an opportunity to back out at this point because number one, I'd set a goal and I knew how this failed goal was provoking me. Number two, I set up some accountability and I'm like, I have to get ready for this thing. Then I found out Travis is doing this triathlon. Now, Travis actually does triathlons. When I first met Travis, he's running this thing to win. And he's bringing people to watch. I'm like, I just don't want to be last. I just have visions of me like, oh. Oh, then like, you know, a 74-year-old woman jogging by me finishing with a cane, you know, helping me out. I was like, no. Oh my gosh, I'm going long. But hear me. But it didn't matter. I had to get it done. Now, by God's grace, you know, I wasn't the last person. Thank you, Jesus, for people with fake hips. Thank you for hip replacement surgery and that they can walk after that. But we did it yesterday. My point is that, like, after the finish line, it was like, man, I achieved something. Like, I did this thing that I have no reason to be doing that, right? But I set a goal. And we have a choice in life. I need you to hear me. We have a choice in life, and we hear this a lot. If you want an orange, if you want to eat an orange, you have some options, right? You can go to Publix and find a nice orange and buy it, peel it, eat it. You can go to an orange tree that is in season, bearing fruit, pick the orange, peel it, eat it. You can get orange seed, plant it in the ground, take care of it, grow fruit, pick it, eat it. You cannot get any tree that's in your backyard and start telling it what fruit to produce. And in our lives, we can't just say, here's what I want to produce at the end. I've done it any way I want up till now. There has to be some goals that are measurable before we get there. Otherwise, this thing is already in motion and it's going to bear the fruit it wants to bear based on the seed that was planted. I wanted specific fruit in my life in this season. There were some goals I wanted to achieve. So I had to plant specific seed to get that specific fruit. And too often, we're just upset. Well, you know, my kids are so bad. My kids don't behave. And my husband doesn't do this. And my job is that. And like, what seed have you been planting? Have you been consciously inviting Holy Spirit into these areas of your life that aren't going well and asking, what should the actual foundation be? Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to concern ourselves with tending the vine. Holy Spirit will produce the fruit, right? But the soil of our garden has to be fertile. We have to be tending the soil. It has to be fertile. It has to be rich. It has to be tended. It has to have good seed put in it. And we have to ask Holy Spirit to come help us tend our garden. Otherwise, it produces what the earth can produce. And that's not righteousness, peace, and joy. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It does not produce the fruit of the Spirit. It produces what we already see. And what we want is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, give me a quick second because I'm running a couple minutes late because you guys had that long, funny story. So give me a couple seconds. Galatians chapter 5. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Listen, we have a role in bearing good fruit. We have a role in it. We can't just live our lives and hope that it comes out of our life. Yeah. No more than a kid just goes to school and hopes to get good grades. Yeah. It's measurable. It's very measurable. And listen, parents, Corey and I were talking about this as we were praying through some things ourselves. You know, Will and Deanna had this little baby they brought home, and Chris and Raquel just had a little baby. And, you know, if you ever visit anybody in the hospital, especially you people with kids, you visit them in the hospital, and they're like, oh, my God, what's happening? What? It's not sleeping. Yeah, they don't do that now. We haven't slept in a day and a half. You'll get sleep in about 2 months. Don't worry, you know. It's going to go away. This is the easiest season there is. It only gets more complicated after this. Right now, you've got to put stuff in one end and clean the stuff on the other end. That's really all you have to do. And they'll scream, but, they scream. And, you make sure they're kind of clean and just make sure they're alive. That's all you got to do at this age. Make sure they're alive. But when you got one in their adolescence and they're learning how to get along with other people, it gets more complicated. When you're trying to teach them socialization, it gets more complicated. And then you have a teenager. Listen, parents, you only have till about 14, 15, 16 to influence how your children think. That's all you got. And at that point, you better be somebody they respect, that you can still speak into their lives. Otherwise, you better pray and fast to help parent. Because it's done at that point. And you better be living a life that they want to follow by then. Otherwise, you need a miracle to win them back. It only gets more complicated. And if you think you can do that just by, we'll just do whatever. I don't know. I'm busy playing football. I don't know. I'm busy playing video games. I don't know. I got to go fishing today. I might get a fish that looks exactly like the one I already caught 50 times. But that's way more important than raising my children. You don't get it. It's about the fishing. I do get it. I get it. I get hobbies. I understand. I have hobbies, and they take up time. And I wake up at 6:30 in the morning and go do them. Right? Because my children are important. I'm not a perfect parent. Don't ask my kids, right? I don't want you to know. But I'm not. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, here's what we're going for. Jeremiah 17. Write this down. Read it when you get home. This is a promise of Jeremiah. It says, "For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Verse 9, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." Listen, we are called... excuse me. We're called to be people who are planted by the river. That river is Holy Spirit. Hear me. The river is Holy Spirit. And we're to be planted right next to that river with our roots drawing from that river. Wisdom, understanding. As we get Holy Spirit, hear me, as Holy Spirit is flowing in our lives and we're tending the garden of our life, we produce very ripe fruit. People want this fruit because it's so beautiful. It's gentle. It's kind. It's love. It's patience. We bear this amazing fruit that we just read about in Galatians. This fruit is attractive to people. It's attractive especially to people who don't know God because they don't know where to get this fruit. And as we bear this fruit for God, because we have Holy Spirit in our lives, the people want to come and eat of it. Because they come close because of our fruit, we then give them our gifts. You've come because there's peace in my life, but now I have a prophetic word for you to tell you your true value. And you'll only know your true value by meeting your Father in heaven. You come to me because there's self-control in my life and you don't have self-control. And you come and I tell you, yes, absolutely. But I also see that there's healing. This fruit that you love comes from the God. And let me show you some of the gifts that he gives. And as you heal their body, they're now drawn close to God. We're not called to use the gifts to draw people to ourselves. The gifts are to draw people to Jesus. The fruit is to call people to ourselves. Do you hear me? And we have to bear that fruit. And we only do it by dying to self and allowing Holy Spirit to live in us beyond our own desires. Listen, my desire is to sit around and be 450 pounds and watch people cutting down trees all day, right? Like, I want to watch Discovery Channel shows and not have to exercise ever, right? Like, that is my corrupt desire. Now, I don't want to be 450 pounds. I just want to eat like a 450 pound person. You know what I'm saying? But we have to die to self to get some goals met. I don't want to look like a 450 pound person. That's going to require me to eat like someone who's not. Listen, I want to be someone that people want my advice because I got someone to point them to. And I can only do that if I die to my desires to start bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And as I bear the fruit of the Spirit, come up, Corey, as I bear the fruit of the Spirit, people come close and they get the gifts and they get connected to the presence and the power of Jesus. Can you say amen? Stand with me if you would. I want to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Come, 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 come. Come, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Come. Hallelujah. 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 Come, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer language, begin to pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we want you. We want you in our lives, and we want to bear your fruit. I just feel like there's I feel like there is a repentance available for those who want a fresh start. Who want another crack at this thing. Want another crack at what you're called to do. You know, I always wanted to be a good father. It was a desire in my heart. And it's hard. And you can get to a place in your heart that it's difficult to keep going. And I remember when President Obama was elected. And part of his narrative was about how his mom would be up at 4 o'clock in the morning helping him with homework. That's how he was able to get to Princeton. And I was convicted in my heart. I was like, have I put things more important? And, you know, and that's the kind of national leader I want, you know, like someone who convicts us, looks at, you know, these are the kind of people I want to follow. Like people who convict me in my heart to be a better person. But it caused me to be like, man, how involved am I in my kids' schoolwork? How involved am I in their lives? Praise God, you know, and there's forgiveness. I said, Jesus, help me out. Forgive me. I'm doubling down on this thing. And so for you today, I don't know what God has called you to do. It could be something spiritual. It could be you're supposed to be bearing fruit. Maybe God has challenged you to lead at least one person a week in salvation. I don't know. I don't know what he's challenged you to. Maybe he's challenged you to give a certain amount. Maybe he's challenged you to turn your heart towards a loved one with mental illness who you've been mean to. I don't know. I don't know. But I feel like there's repentance today. There's repentance today that you could bear the fruit of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, we're having a baptism next week. Funny how this works out. We're having a water baptism next week. Maybe you need a fresh start. Show up next week with some clothes to get water that can get wet. And I promise you, some of you are going to get wet next week who weren't planning on it. And so if there's any idea in your head that you might get wet, just bring some clothes. Because we're a house that believes in redemption. We believe in that there is a fresh start waiting for you. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay, let me say this and then I'm going to end. Sorry, I'm going late. Some of you, the fresh start looks like you're going to become a Christ follower. And this is an amazing day for that, I believe. Let's pray in the Spirit. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. The Father's arms are open wide this morning. Hallelujah. Wow. We got a fancy banner.